The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I want to talk to you this morning. I'm going to be speaking out of the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah. No necessarily a particular verse that you need to turn to at this moment, but if you want to flip to the book of Ezra, I'll be talking some out of there and some out of the book of Nehemiah. But before I start, I want to give you just a brief rundown of the history of Israel that most of us are very familiar with. If you look at the history of Israel, what you see is you see God creating a nation out of a man named Abraham, and that nation grows, and at times are very close to God, at times they rebel against God, and a great deal of the Old Testament is about the formation of the nation of Israel and how they lived and the laws that God gave them, and their rebellion against God and His judgment against them, and their repentance for, during the times of judgment, and then the restoration that the Lord brought them. And it's just that cycle over and over and over again many times. But if you were to look at a highlight reel of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, one of the things that most certainly will be on that highlight reel would be the construction and the dedication of the temple that Solomon built. From the time that they come out of Egypt and as they wander through the wilderness, they would put up a tabernacle, and you can read about that in the Old Testament, where it had a covering, and they had certain things inside of it, but it was kind of a makeshift thing. And as they would pick up and move along, they would break down the tabernacle, and they would go a little farther, and then they would put it back up, and they'd worship there for a while. And then when the Lord told them to move on, they'd pick it up until they got to the place that the Lord wanted them to dwell. And so when they get to that place, the Lord instructs them to build a temple, and Solomon is the one that ultimately carries that out. His father David gathers all the materials, and Solomon is the one that puts it all together. Now, when they put the temple together, and it was completed, and the construction was done, you know that was an exciting time, just like when the sanctuary was completed, or when your house was completed, or whatever it was completed. You know, we always rejoice in those times. Well, this was a special time, so if you're watching the highlight reel of Israel and their travelings, you would certainly see a time when the temple was finished. And the Bible tells us, you can read about it in 2 Kings, I believe it is, when the temple is finished, the glory of the Lord comes upon that temple as a cloud, and the Bible says that the ministers were not able to minister or even stand because of the glory and the power of God that filled that temple. Right. Now, that's going to be on the highlight reel, don't you think? Amen. Now, time goes by, and they begin to rebel against the Lord. And you can read about this also where the nation of Babylon comes in, and they take Israel captive. And in the process of taking Israel captive and leading them back to Babylon, they destroy this temple. This beautiful, wonderful temple that at one time, the glory of the Lord was there, so much so that people couldn't even stand up. And the destruction of the temple was probably just as great, just as, awe-inspiring to look at, just as shocking to look at in its destruction as it was in its beauty. And so, two very different pictures there, right? You've got a temple with the glory of the Lord put in it, and everybody is worshiping, and the Bible says they brought sheep in there and cattle to sacrifice that could not even be numbered. It was a wonderful day. And then you've got the temple over here where it is utterly destroyed, the vessels and the treasures taken out of it, and not really even one stone laying upon another. A terrible, terrible destruction as Israel is led away. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, what you read about, Ezra and Nehemiah, is you read about a time when Israel has been led into captivity to Babylon. And if I'm not mistaken, they were there 70-something years. And the Lord puts in the heart of the king, King Cyrus, to release them and to let them go back into Jerusalem, back into their land. And it wasn't like just a gate opening and all these Israelites running out. It was over a period of time that they would exit out of Babylon and go back into their home country. Because you got to think about this. If they were there 70-something years, there were people born in Babylon in captivity, and that's all they'd ever known.
Right.
These were Israelites born into captivity, not knowing what it was like to have the blessed freedoms that they had before Babylon came along. And likewise, there were children of Israel that were born in their time, in Israel's time of great rebellion. And their normal was rebellion. That's all they'd ever really known, was rebellion and a turning away from God's law, where a child is born into a family and God is not the thing that is worshipped. It's false idols that are worshipped. And that's just what they know. So it would have been a very confusing time for some of these people, thinking, why are we being led away? You're talking about God's law. I don't know what you really mean. All we've ever done is worship the groves and worship the idols and that type of stuff. And then they go into captivity, and you have people born into captivity saying, what do you mean they're turning us loose to go back to a place over here? This is all I've ever known. So a very confusing time.
Right.
The reason they're in Babylon is because of their rebellion and their sin, right? Now, as they come back into Jerusalem, imagine arriving back into Jerusalem, and you look there, and the first time you came upon where the temple was, and you see it laid in ruins. How that must have affected them. And so one of the things that they do right out of the gate is they decide, we're going to rebuild this temple. And so you read through the book of Ezra, and what you will find is they begin to rebuild that temple. And the very first thing they do is they begin to lay the foundations of the temple, which we know that's very important. I don't know if you've ever watched a house or anything be built. First thing they do is they go in there, and one of the first things, and they'll, you know, dig some footings, and they'll pour some concrete in there. Then a lot of times they'll pour a slab over it, and they get a solid foundation. And even the Lord spoke about building on a solid foundation. And so they go in there, and their desire is to lay the foundation of this temple. Now, as they start to lay the foundation of this temple, they face a lot of opposition. And what people begin to say is, oh, here we go. They begin to talk to the other surrounding kings, and they say, listen, this, do you know about the history of Israel? The history of Israel are the ones that came through here at one time and just wiped out major cities because the power of their God was with them, and they did their own thing. They had their own sets of laws. They're a rebellious people, and if you let them go and you give them their independence again and you let them rebuild this temple, all they're ever going to be is trouble. And so they had this opposition come in, and sometimes that opposition acted like they were on their side. Hey, we want to help you build this temple. We want to help you rebuild these things. All the while, the Bible says, and I like this phrase, their intention was to frustrate their purpose. So they go on, and eventually they rebuild the temple. And after they rebuild the temple, you'll read about in the book of Nehemiah, they begin to construct a wall around Jerusalem, because when Babylon came in, they knocked down all the walls and they destroyed all the walls. So Nehemiah comes in and he begins to lead this effort to rebuild the walls. And as they begin to rebuild the walls, they faced opposition again. Probably more opposition in rebuilding the wall than they did to rebuild the temple. And so the importance of rebuilding the wall was to keep out all the things like Babylon, to keep out the things that would hurt them and destroy them. So when you read through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, that's what you find. And I encourage you to read through both of those books and read about the construction, the reconstruction of the temple and the reconstruction of the wall, and Israel coming out of that captivity and getting settled again. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, I want you to ask yourself, what kind of temple am I? Am I the temple over here that people look at and see the glory of the Lord and see something very honoring? Or do they look at the temple of myself, and do they see it broken down in ruins? Now, I want you to mull over that question for a little bit. What condition is the temple in? You may say, the condition I'm in, the condition of my temple, and I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about your spiritual body. The condition of my spiritual temple, the place that where God dwells, is a place that is like it was in the days of the kings when Solomon reigned. And when people, I believe when people see me, that they see something that is God-honoring, and they see the Lord working in my life, and they see me being Spirit-filled at times. And I'm not saying that you would think that in an arrogant way, but you may look at yourself and say, you know what, I see myself as just a temple that has been just been ravaged, and I'm tattered and I'm torn and I'm broken down. You may see yourself as that kind of temple. If you see yourself as the kind of temple where the glory of the Lord is upon it, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because that's a great encouragement to me to see other people that are doing those things. If you would describe yourself as a temple that has been broken down and is torn and tattered, I have some wonderful news for you. I have the news that our God is a merciful God. And oftentimes our God puts in the heart of King Cyrus to send us on, and there's second chances. There's another chance to start rebuilding. Now, oftentimes, and this is a sobering thought, when we find our temple in a broken, tattered condition, oftentimes it's because of our rebellion. And sometimes we have difficulty recognizing that rebellion, because that rebellion has become the norm. The children of Israel that were born into captivity, or born into a time period where Israel was rebelling, it was normal for them. They didn't recognize that this is a sin against the Lord. I don't even necessarily understand that I'm rebelling, because it's all I've ever known.
Right.
You know what? There are people that are born into families that have many more obstacles to overcome from a spiritual standpoint than some. You take somebody that's born into a family where there's no spiritual guidance, the parents never take the initiative to get their children to church, that child is going to have some obstacles to overcome as far as the condition of their temple that a child that's brought up in church and taught and nurtured and brought up in the way of the Lord is not going to have to overcome. So if you're in a position where you feel like your temple is broken down and tattered, the good news is that God is merciful. And some people will say this: it is impossible for me to overcome where I'm at. It is impossible for me to loose my grasp over things that are keeping me in captivity. A lot of us are in captivity. A lot of us have been taken away from where the Lord wants us to dwell, and we're in bondage. And just like some of these children of Israel, don't even realize you're in bondage. I've been there. I'll be there again. There's not one verse in the Bible that says, for the child of God who is desiring to get back on the right track can't do it.
Right.
Not one verse. You can never, as a child of God, take the stance, this is impossible. How I am at this moment, broken, torn, and tattered temple of God, it will always be this way for me until the day I die. That is a lie from Satan. The power of God has shown us time and time and time again that with God all things are possible.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God never gives us the spirit to quit pursuing godliness. But oftentimes we just say, well, I'm just going to keep going like I'm going because I don't think it'll ever change. Don't believe that lie.
Amen.
God is able. The spirit of the Lord is not straight. He is never in a bind. If he can calm the winds and the waves, he can certainly pull us out of the miry pit we're in. But we would be wise to take heed to some of the things that the Israelites did as they went back into their homeland. Do you feel like you've been in Babylon? Do you feel like the Lord has opened up a door for you to go back to where he wants you to do? Take some notes from the children of Israel. And the first thing you need to do is start laying some foundations.
Amen.
The Lord said in Matthew the 7th chapter, and I'm paraphrasing, that a man that hears the word of God and doesn't do what the word of God says is like a man that builds his house on sand. He has sand as his foundations. And it says the rain came, the floods came, and the wind blew, and the house fell. And it says, and great was the fall of it, because sand is a terrible foundation. It says, but a man that hears the word of God and does it and obeys is like a man that builds his house upon a rock.
Yeah.
The rains still come, the floods still come, and the wind still blows. But the house is able to stand because it's built on the right foundation. Sometimes we find our temple in ruins because we failed to lay the proper foundation. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we're going to come out of Babylon and go back to where the Lord wants us to be, then we need to be mindful that we start by laying the foundation. What is that foundation? It's a lot of things. The Lord said the right foundation is listening to the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and doing it. It's really as easy as that. Hear the Word of God and do it. Now, what's going to happen when you do that? You're going to face opposition.
Right.
You're going to face some opposition when you do that. We have the foundation of the church. We have the foundation of the family that has been totally destroyed in America.
Right.
We have the foundations of just a dedicated mind to walk in the light. You want to build your foundation on something that'll stand? Build it on the church and the Word of the living God.
Amen.
Build it on a family. Fathers, I put that responsibility primarily on you. Build a foundation on a family.
Amen.
I sometimes look at things and I think, I don't have much control over what's going on out there, but the place I have the most control is in my home.
Amen.
And I'm going to spend more time looking at my home and dealing with my home and laying the foundations in my home and teaching my children how to lay foundations in our home instead of looking out there, scratching my head and complaining about it.
Right.
The foundation of the family is vital.
Amen.
The foundation of the church is vital. The foundation of a mind that dwells on truth is vital. But you're going to face opposition. You want to hear the Word of God and do it? Turn on the news sometimes. If you refuse to bake a cake for a homosexual couple, you're going to face opposition. If you choose to stand for what is right and stand for the Ten Commandments, you're going to face opposition. There are going to be people that try to tear you down and say, "Oh, you bunch of bigots, you're a rebellious people. You're filled with hate and you're standing for things that are taking away so-called rights from people over here." You're going to be exactly like these Israelites were. You're trying to pursue something and lay foundations and do what the Lord has called you to do. And you've got all the people all the while saying, "Oh, they're rebellious people. They're full of hate. You better stop them." You know who they go to? The authorities, the government. And say, "Hey, government, you better stop them."
Right.
That's exactly where we are.
Amen.
Exactly.
True.
There's going to come a time, and it is in some places already, where preaching the gospel will be considered hate speech.
Yep.
That's opposition. After they laid the foundations and the temple was finished, they went to build the walls to protect them from things that might corrupt them, things that might destroy them. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, we read about a situation where a man had an unclean spirit cast out of him. An unclean spirit leaves and it goes about seeking the place to find rest, and it can't find anything. And it decides, "I'm going to go back to where I came from. I'm going to go back to the man that I came out of, and I'm going to take me seven more spirits stronger than I am." And when they get back to that man, guess what they find? No walls, no protection, no border, no hedge. And they go back into that man. The Bible says he was worse off at his end than at his beginning. We may come out of Babylon. We may find our temple torn and tattered and ruined. We may lay the foundations of that temple like the Lord instructed us to do, but we may fail to put up walls around it. And if you fail to put up those walls around it, most certainly something's coming for you. One of the things that chronically plagued Israel is they never would fully separate themselves from the things that had been corrupting them. They never would fully. They just always held on to it just a little bit. And, you know, maybe they would have a grasp on it and they would open their hand, but just kind of pinch on it just a little bit and just hold on to it. We need to open those hands and let it go. It is not worth a destruction of your temple to hold on to some little sin that's pleasurable for a season.
Amen.
Now, eventually in this situation, the temple foundation was laid, the temple was restored, the wall was built. And how did they accomplish that with so much opposition? The way they accomplished that was this. If you read through Ezra and Nehemiah, you will find that there was tremendous prayer made by Ezra and Nehemiah that the Lord would help raise up leaders to lead them. And the Lord answered that prayer. You'll also find where their prophets of that day were very, very encouraging to the people to continue to build. Now, what do we want to do? We need to be praying that God will raise up godly leaders to lead us as a nation. We need to pray that we will have the spirit of those prophets to encourage people. Listen, our world is so void of encouragement. There are people whose temple has been destroyed and broken down, and they're sitting there with the attitude, I can't change myself. I can't get out of this. You know what they need? They need some encouragement. They need Nehemiah, and they need Ezra, and they need the prophets to come along and say, yes, you can do this, and I will help you every step of the way. Really, that is the function of the church. If we as a body are not encouraging people, we have failed as a church. I hope daily that you are bringing somebody to your side and encouraging them in some shape or form. Now, when all this was said and done, this is beautiful. I love this. When all this was said and done, you know what they did? They've got the temple built. Walls are going up around it. And when Cyrus, King Cyrus, when he let the Israelites go out of the land of Babylon, he said, here are all the treasures and the vessels that we took from you when we destroyed your temple. You take them back. And so they go back in, and when they've got this temple constructed, they bring those treasures back into that temple. Now, I don't know how you feel, but I sure feel this way, that sometimes my treasures are gone. The belief in salvation by grace is a treasure. The love of the brethren is a treasure. Having a church where there's like-mindedness and there's a close fellowship, that's a treasure. Yes. Do you sometimes feel like you've lost those things? Listen, the fellowship of the church and the preaching of the gospel and the songs that we sing, they're as rich as they always were.
Right.
They're still as wonderful as they always were, but sometimes we feel like, I just don't mean much to me. My treasure's been taken. Maybe Babylon has come and torn your temple down and taken your treasures. Go back and lay those foundations again.
Amen.
Go back and lay the foundations of reading God's word and studying it and obeying it. Lay the foundations of being the type of godly friend that God wants us to be. And lay the foundations of being the type of father and mother and friend and sister and brother that God has called us to be. And then build walls around all of that to keep the powers of darkness from coming in and corrupting those things. Because they're coming. There's nothing more they would love than to get to where you are and see your temple shining with the glory of God and find no walls around it. This temple, this wall that we're talking about, you know, it was destroyed again. It was torn down again later on. What I pray for myself, what I pray for you, what I pray for every child of God out there. Again, if you are a temple right now that is pleasing to the Lord, praise God and thank you for the encouragement that I get when I see you. But if you're not, I want you to know that the Lord has His eye on you. And He wants you to come out of that captivity. And He wants you to lay those foundations. And He wants you to build those walls. And when those things happen, those treasures that were once lost will be restored back in you. And that's what we want. I want to walk through this life as it crumbles around us and saying, I feel like the Lord has put the treasures of His wonderful things inside of His people. And I want to hold on tightly to them and turn a blind eye to this world.
Yes.
I hope that that's been encouraging to you, and I strongly, strongly encourage you. Go through the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra and read about those things. And remember, when you're reading about that temple, you're reading of a picture of yourself. You're reading of a picture of every child of God, and we're going to face times when we rebel against God. I feel like I do it on a daily basis. We're going to find times where our temple has been destroyed. We're going to find time that our treasures have been taken. But follow the pattern of the Israelites and go back to laying the right foundations and building the walls in hopes that those treasures return.
Amen.